everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from both the local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Allen. As always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Jonathan, how long have we been working together?
Almost 3 years.
Seems like more, but I guess
yeah, it'll be 3 years in November.
Seems like seven or eight. In the time that we've been working together, you have been instrumental in taking my social media to the next level. You and Amy Thompson and Amy Jordan have put Team Rainer in a place that I just have great gratitude. I mean, it's unbelievable to see what God has done through y'all in social media. I say that to let the listening audience know that I absolutely love social media. I love, and you know, my favorite means of social media. I like Twitter. You help me on Facebook, but Twitter is one of my favorites, and it's a personal favorite. But I guess if there's one that stands out above all, it's a blog. And
yeah.
I love communicating through blog. And now that we've been doing this podcast for over a year,
yeah,
wow, that's been quick. Yeah. This is becoming one of my two favorites, along with blog posts. You and the two Amys get the opportunity to see the comments and the emails that come in as a result of being positively impacted,
yes,
by social media.
Mm-hmm.
People whose lives have been changed, whose churches have been altered in a positive way, leadership decisions that have been made, people who are on the brink of giving up and coming back. Again, that sounds like a lot of humble brag, or maybe it just sounds like brag.
A lot of brag.
Just pure brag.
I know what you mean.
But my point is, that is how social media has been used in a very positive way. Now, have I always used social media positively? No. But it can be used very positively. It is a great medium. It is a great vehicle. And so I come to this whole idea of seven warnings for church leaders who use social media with a desire to have a pretty long prefatory comment that in no way am I insinuating that you shouldn't use social media. Quite the opposite. You've got a link at the bottom of this podcast that points them to why you should be using social media. So I simply want to say to the listeners, social media can be a great tool for the gospel. It can be a great pastoral tool. It can be a great leadership tool. But like any other vehicle, any other instrument, it can be abused. It can hurt people. And it can hurt the user of the social media as well. So thus is the point that we've come up with, and there could be a lot more, seven warnings for church leaders who use social media.
And number one is to consider anything you say on social media to be permanent.
And of course, when I say,
you mean
I mean type, speak,
tweet,
or video, or anything like that. Screenshots are taken almost immediately someone tweets or posts on Facebook, and you may go back and delete it, but it's there. People have a way of being able to find information even though you think you've scrubbed it clean. Here is my point. Anything that you say, just consider it a personal, permanent record. And just like anything else that would be, say, on a legal record or a credit record, but even credit records get cleaned up every now and then. But not so with social media. So you need to approach social media with great care simply because what you're saying is going to be with you as long as you live.
Yes, and now we've talked in the past about background checks for pastors, and now there are groups doing social media background checks, you know, for not just pastors, but any employer.
Any employer.
Can go out there and do a social media background check, and you may think it's gone, but I bet you they can find it.
I bet you they can find it because you know how to find a lot of these as well.
Yeah, maybe.
The three types of checks that are primarily being done, not only for ministers and pastors, but particularly for them, are legal, to make certain that that legal record is okay. Credit, to make certain that there's no problems that need to be discussed that have not been discussed. And now social media.
Yeah.
And that third one, social media, is coming along pretty fast.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on one of the points in just a moment.
Yes, and number two is that you can often be misunderstood on social media.
Yeah, and you and I can be misunderstood in this podcast. Even though we are speaking, they don't see our body language. You know me well enough that if I say something sarcastic, you can look at me and determine that it's sarcastic. I have learned the hard way too many times being a poor leader that I say some things and people just don't understand them, even if they're looking at me, much less if it's something that you put on a blog or put on Twitter. I've seen some tweets, and I didn't have a clue what that person was saying. And sometimes I probably assume the worst thing. Be clear on social media. Understand that your sarcasm may not be interpreted as sarcasm by the reader or the listener, and understand that body language accounts for a lot of communication, and you really don't get that on anything except video, and even video is not as good as in person.
Yeah, and on social media, I know that we've had so many tweets or questions or emails come back to us asking us, did you mean this about that?
You mean we're communicating poorly as well?
No, it's just that things can be that we think are just so straightforward about one thing. Somebody can turn around and say, were you talking about this? And I'm like, no.
And, you know, that brings up another point. This that's very helpful for me, because understand that you can misinterpret social media as a reader.
Yeah.
And I have read some tweets that I thought, well, you know what? I can't believe that person said that. And there have been occasions, I don't do this anymore just because it's not worth the time, that I responded, and I responded defensively, and that person came back and said, I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah.
Why did you take it wrongly? Well, because you wrote it that way.
No. Well.
And so understand what you always read may not be what you think it is.
Number three, emoticons are not sufficient to soften what you've posted.
May be my prejudice. I do not like emoticons. It's like extra words. And, you know, I don't like too many words. And emoticons are becoming pervasive, ubiquitous. They're everywhere now. And so you almost expect smiley face, no matter how well decorated it is, after almost everything. That doesn't tell me that they're just being humorous. It may be just a way of covering themselves. I'm going to tell you something harsh, and I'll put a smiley face on it and say, I love you.
Yeah, that way, you know, it's kind of like the bless your heart.
Yeah, that's the old established church, well, bless your heart. Yeah. It also reminds me, when I was a pastor, many times I would get a backhanded compliment, or maybe I should call it a backhanded criticism, and it would begin like this: I love you, Pastor,
but.
And then they would underline what the but after that more than anything.
Yeah. Number four, attacks on other people's character or positions are considered cowardly by many.
There is a time and a place. I could go Ecclesiastes on us. There's a time and a place for everything. And there is a time that someone in the public needs to be called out in the public. There's a time that we should say things and that we should defend the faith. But I got to tell you, Jonathan, more times than not, it is becoming character assassination, ad hominem attacks, personal attacks. I was just with a group of Christian leaders. I'll just leave it at that. And it was a time of transparency. It was a time of openness. And it blew me away how many people who spoke in that room talked about how deeply hurt they and their family had been by something on social media, a blog post, a tweet, something on Facebook, and the list goes on and on and on. And one person made this comment: I cannot believe how cowardly someone can be not to confront me with this if they have a problem, at least through direct communication, if not in person, at least through direct communication. And they didn't, and they put this information or misinformation out there, and it deeply hurt me, or it deeply hurt my family member. So more and more listeners need to understand this, because I encourage activity on social media. But more and more people are perceiving that when we go on the negative about a person in particular, when we go on the negative, it is seen that we do not have the courage to confront or to do something one-on-one.
Yeah, and just this morning I saw a blog post that was loosely tying someone to an event, but there was no connection there. And there will be no follow-up. Nobody will correct the author. He writes this kind of in a vacuum or whatever, and the people that agree with him will agree with him. But what he wrote was totally false, totally misleading, but there's no checking of it.
That's right.
And that happens far too often. And people, good people who do good things, are mischaracterized so poorly because people don't know what they're talking about at times on social media, and just kind of go off on their own little rant, and there's nothing there of substance, but, you know, they just make it up and nobody calls them on it.
That is the other side of social media. The beautiful side of social media is you no longer need a gatekeeper.
No.
You don't have to go through a publisher. You don't have to go through someone to give you permission to publish something, to put a video out. That's the beauty of it. It is level the playing field, and anybody can get on a video on YouTube. They can post. They can have their own blog site. They can be on social media and any of the numbers of social media choices. That's the beauty of it. And then the danger of it is anybody can do this. Yeah, it's a two-edged sword, and therefore you can get the fringe cases that are out there. And not sometimes we get so tired of listening to them or watching them that we don't rebut them, and as a consequence, they go untethered.
Yep. Number five is that too many Christian leaders are posting on social media in the heat of emotional moments.
This again reminds me of the email.
Yeah.
Make certain that if you have a moment of heated emotion, particularly anger, and you write an email before you hit send, you have probably a 24-hour cooling off period. And I love what most email services have now, that if you send it and you say, yeah, I don't want to do it, you can bring it back within the time that you've set. It's the same thing with social media, but the problem is once you punch the button, it's gone. It's out there.
And no delay on no tweets.
And if you're angry, if you're spewing venom, here's what's going to happen. The sender, the author of that, will be characterized as an angry, bitter person. You may think that it's hurting the person that you desire to hurt, but you're going to be characterized as the angry, hurting person. And I got to say this for many Christian leaders, and I want to say it bluntly, but pastorally. You're not only hurting yourself and the recipient of the heat that is posted, you're hurting your family. Mm-hmm. Because family members are affected by things you do and say. And I know that because I've made mistakes that have hurt my family. And I just want to encourage pastors, other Christian leaders, staff members to cool off a moment before you post something on social media that may come back in the future to haunt you or that may hurt you at that very moment.
Yeah, we spoke about number six a little while earlier, and you kind of touched on it there about coming back to haunt you later. But churches and Christian organizations are checking social media of Christian leaders.
Yeah. Again, you and I spent some time on that, where the three common checks are now becoming, well, it's really four. References, criminal background checks or legal background checks, credit checks, and now social media checks. And again, many of our services that provide social media checks, many of those that are out there are very savvy.
Yep.
They know how to find things. They know how to find things that have been deleted. Here's one thing that can happen. Someone can, let's use Twitter for example. Someone can tweet something, and then someone immediately comes up to him and say, "You shouldn't say that." Well, they go in and delete it. Well, in the meantime, someone's taken a screenshot of it, mm-hmm. and that screenshot now becomes something that's on someone else's social media and saying, look what he did, look what she did. And those people don't take it down.
Nope.
And therefore, it's going all throughout the social media. And unfortunately, it's there for a long time. Recently, speaking with a person who specializes in placing people in ministry, and he told me that this is a growing issue, that more and more of the time we're hearing about ministers, pastors, staff members who actually do not get jobs because mm-hmm. of things that they have written, said on social media. So this is a big warning, and I would just urge everybody involved in social media to refer back to our previous statement. Don't post on social media until you are sure it's something that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that your wife, husband, children, grandchildren would be proud of.
And the final warning that you listed here is that the non-Christian world is watching Christians attack each other on social media. And this might even be the most important one here. It's how it hurts our witness.
Yeah, our Christian witness is compromised multiple times on social media. And whereas in the spirit of Matthew 18, we go to a brother or sister in Christ when we have something against them, when we get out in social media, the world is watching. And you know very well that I have a number of non-Christians that come to my site. In fact,
written a blog post on it.
Yeah, and they've come back and they said, this is why we don't like Christians, and this atheist says this, or this agnostic says this. And though, yeah, they're a bit hypocritical in the way they say it, their point is still well made. They are watching Christians attack one another. And the question they're asking is, why do I want what they have when all they're going to do is fight each other? Mm-hmm. And their perception from that isolated moment is that most Christians are like that. And so, therefore, I'm not going to go to church. Therefore, I'm not going to hear the gospel message that he or she wants me to hear. When they see us writing these scathing attacks, when they hear about these scathing attacks on others, they see us as hypocritical, inconsistent, and they certainly don't see us as the Christ-like examples that we want to be for them. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree with you totally that this, you know, I wish I could make a declarative statement that this has to stop, but it's not going to stop. But at least we can continue to urge Christians, don't take out your battles in the public arena where other people can watch.
So maybe you are a Christian leader or just a Christian, you don't have to be a leader, but you've used social media wrongly. How would you counsel, what would be your steps to kind of correct that pattern going forward?
You know what? If I have used social media in a wrong way, I make a public apology. I apologize where everybody would have seen it the first time.
Match the apology to the offense.
And to the audience.
Yeah.
And to the audience. And I would issue a public apology, and I would say I was wrong. First reason you would do it is because you should.
Yeah.
It is the Christian biblical thing to do. So reason number one, you do so. But also, when this comes back to haunt you, and that's probably not the best metaphor to use in a Christian podcast, but when this comes back to bite you in the future, then you can say, yep, I did that, and I was wrong. You know, it wasn't too long ago that I talked with someone, an employee in an organization, and they actually had a criminal record. Mm-hmm. And it was something that happened in their teenage years, and here's what they did. When they went and applied for a job, they made a statement in the application. I know you're going to see this. I want to tell you what happened as a teenager. And they gave the details. And it was not only the details of it, but it was a profound apology, the context, and I was wrong. And therefore, when that information was seen by the hiring authority, the company decided to hire them because they knew that their life had changed.
Yeah, the posture had changed.
And so, you know, there's been more than one time where I have apologized for things, not because I enjoy apologies, because I was wrong. And as a result, we should do so on social media as well.
This week's podcast has been brought to you by RevitalizedChurches.com, bringing together consultations, videos, books, and other resources from today's top pastors, leaders, and authors. RevitalizedChurches.com is the premier online destination for church revitalization. Visit RevitalizedChurches.com today for your free download of 114 Things You Need to Know About Church Revitalization by Tom Rainer.
Hey, Jonathan, just want to mention the sponsor. So grateful to Tim Songster and Revitalized Churches. I've enjoyed my relationship with them. They have a great organization, and I enjoy speaking with them and speaking for them. So glad to see that they're our sponsor, and I was honored to write the little download about Revitalized Churches. So just wanted to give that plug for one of our good sponsors. Let me say this in closing to our listeners. There's so much about social media that is good. I've made that plainly clear. But never in the history of humanity have any of you who are listening had the megaphone that you have, that you have the type of audience, that you have the potential. And here's the crux of the matter. You can use that megaphone to tear down people, to hurt yourself, to hurt your family, or positively, conversely, you can use it to be an instrument of healing, an instrument to share the gospel, an instrument to show how Christ can really work in your lives in a positive way. I am not for one moment suggesting that we abandon our prophetic call. But there's a time and a place, and I can assure you from everything that we have seen and everything that we have heard and everything that we have read that it is being abused too much. So my admonition to Christian leaders, to all Christians, is the world is watching. Watch what you say. Watch what you write. Watch what you do.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.